news time.
Hello, I'm Jamie. I do some stuff with junior high Sunday mornings. I came up through Christchurch here and I loved youth. I thought youth was awesome. These were some of my closest friends and I made them at youth. I had a really awesome group of guys and girls. We would hang out all the time. In school holidays, we would go to each other's houses. We'd swim. We'd be playing like COD zombies until 3 a.m. It was awesome. These guys and girls were some of my best friends and life was great. Because as humans, we are made for friendships and relationships. And life was good because I had some. But friendships will let us down. Even though these were friends from church, these friendships weren't centered on God. And so when I tried to help us as a group love God more and love others more, they kicked me out of the group. For all of year 12, I lost some of my best friends. They went to schoolies without me, they would barely talk to me, and they kicked me out of all of my group chats. But today, not many of them are loving Jesus anymore. Because we weren't gospel friends even though we were a youth. We were friends for convenience and for fun. And so we may idolize friendships and put so much worth into them, but they won't last. They will fail you. So as we look at friendships today, I hope you can think and reflect about your friendships and how you can do them wisely. So let's look at the first half, that we are designed for relationships. We can see that in Genesis 2, right at the start of the Bible, in verse 18, where it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" Just before this, God has created the whole world. It was good. God created animals? Good. God created plants? Good. God created people? Good. But the first thing that wasn't good was man being alone. It is not good for the man to be alone. Because God created us to be in relationships and friendships with others, to have family and friends who we have fun with, who we share life with, to love, to care for. Jesus himself had 12 friends, his disciples. They were so close that in Matthew 12, he says to them, "Here are my mother and my brothers." They were as close to him as family. And so even the fully human Jesus needed friendships, because we as humans are designed for friendships. But we need to be wise about what we are pursuing and what those friendships look like. So that leads to the second point. We are designed for friendships, so use them wisely. We're going to look at David and Jonathan's friendship in a bit more detail and see what lessons we learn to do ours better. But if you're new to church or haven't quite heard of David and Jonathan, a quick summary is that there's this king of the Israelites called Saul. He really hated David and he regularly tried to kill him. But because God chose David to be the king after Saul, so that's why he hated them. So that's kind of what's going on. David and Jonathan and Saul, weird little friendship triangle. But let's dive into how we can use friendships wisely. And the first point is by being friends with people who are different. So if we look at 1 Samuel 18, the first time the Bible mentions David and Jonathan's interaction is in 1 Samuel 18. It says, "Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him just as he loved himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, and even gave him his sword, his bow, and his belt. David, a humble servant, with not much of anything, comes into the presence of the mighty king and his warrior son, Jonathan, in his shiny, expensive armor, his scarlet-purple robes. This is an upbringing of hard work and long hours as a shepherd, compared with wealth and prosperity and luxury in the king's palace. A poet and a musician compared with a fighter. A servant versus an heir. The one who has nothing compared with the one who can so freely give away armor and robes and everything without a second thought. This friendship was not founded on common interests. These were two very different people with very different upbringings, and they were even different ages. David and Jonathan were different. They were meant to be enemies because Saul hated David, but their friendship was founded on a love for each other and a love for God, which is our next lesson, that wise friends point each other back to God. We read a few chapters ahead in 1 Samuel 23. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Saul's hatred of David continues on, and he's actively pursuing him. He's chasing him, hunting him down. But Jonathan came to encourage David by pointing him back to God. Their friendship was beautiful because it was all about the Lord. In the midst of hardship, Jonathan's friendship with David is the one that energizes him and restores him, not by having a good time, having a laugh together, but by pointing him back to God, the one who truly strengthens, who truly uplifts. David and Jonathan loved each other deeply, but they knew the most important friendship relationship that anyone can have is with God. He is the creator, and he designed us for friendships with each other, but mainly with himself. So even when David was fearful for his life, he still trusted in the Lord, and he had a good friend to help him do that. But all of these lessons mean nothing if they aren't driven by love. So the final thing we see from David and Jonathan is they actually loved each other. They had a deep, intimate love for each other, a love that's kind of scary because of its intensity. So let's take a look at the reading today, but focus in on verse 26. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. This is David's lament, which just means sad song. He's writing it and singing it after he finds out that Jonathan has been killed. And so he's grieving and deeply saddened. But take a look at the depths of love between the two. You were very dear to me, he says. Your love for me was wonderful. We are made for relationships, for love, for intimacy. But so often we only look for intimacy, for that sort of love, in one place, in a romantic relationship. But the friendship between David and Jonathan shows us that our friendships should be and can be a place of real trust and delight. At the time of writing this, David was married. He had the love of a significant other, a partner. But yet he still says, your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. And so, as a spoiler for next week, as we look at singleness, I have to ask, do you idolize a romantic relationship? Or do you just want beautiful gospel friendships? Do you want a friend who knows you, who truly knows you and loves you? Or someone so you aren't lonely and so you fit in? I hope over this next week we can reflect on what would happen if you never ever got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. How would you cope? I think if we start to view our friendships more like David and Jonathan, then maybe our desperation for a partner would lessen. So through David and Jonathan, we can see that wise friendships are with people who can be different from us, centered on God, and based on deep love. And when we look at Jesus, we can see that he does his relationships and his friendships in the same way. So how does Jesus love those who are different? Well, firstly, the people, the disciples that he called to be his friends, they were people who were hated, like the tax collector Matthew, but also heaps of people who were nobodies, like lowly fishermen. He also spent lots of time with outcasts, people who were the scum of the world, prostitutes and Samaritans. He had meals with people nobody else wanted to hang out with. So does that mean that we can't be friends with people who are similar? Of course not. David also had lots of other friends, people who followed him, fought battles alongside him, people that he trusted. They would have had lots of similarities. And that's a good thing. We would naturally be closer friends with people who have similar interests. I could talk for hours about soccer, and so naturally I tend towards people who can talk about soccer as well. It's not about ignoring friendships with people who are similar. It's about not ignoring relationships or friendships with people who are different. It's about being open and intentional to people who are different, who are not like us, who have different humor or hobbies, or they're at a different school? Can you love them and invest in them like Jesus loves and invests in you and me and them? So we want to keep friendships up with all sorts of different people, because church should be a place where the different collide and grow in love. Galatians 3 says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." If you belong to Christ, then differences do not matter anymore. Slave or free, that is a radical difference between socioeconomic lifestyles, but they are all one. We are all one. Christians are people who are united, not just by common interests, but by Jesus. So as well as loving the different, to the next one, we can see that Jesus was also centered on God in his friendships. We can see that through his friendships with his disciples. He would teach them parables and lessons about the kingdom of God. He would go off and spend time with God by himself. Everything Jesus did was to give glory to God, the miracles, the healings, the teachings. And when his disciples were confused and didn't understand, he'd explain it clearly. And he even rebuked them when they thought the gospel was just about power and strength. Jesus continually pointed his friends back to God. And thirdly, we can see the depths of Jesus' love for us in the death and resurrection. Jesus humbled himself and took on beatings and mockings and death for you and for me. That's costly love. That's true love. It's not just convenient and easy for him. It took a big sacrifice. But it was done because he so loves you and he wants to be friends with you forever. So, like Jesus, who can we be loving who is different? Who can we be pointing back to God? And who can we be loving more deeply? Well, when I lost my friendship group in year 12, I was pretty upset. I felt a bit betrayed. And sometimes it can feel like the end of the world. Even today, I can still feel a bit sad sometimes that I don't see many of them anymore. But sometimes wanting real friendship, gospel friendships, will cause you to lose friends. Standing up for Jesus, honoring him, will lose you friends. It's not an if, but a when. And if you aren't losing friends for Jesus, are you sure you're properly standing up for him? Because I've definitely had moments where I've acted in a way I know Jesus doesn't love, and he doesn't want me to act just so I can fit in and not lose friends. Will your friendship with Jesus trump your friendships with other people? Will Jesus be number one? Will he be your best friend, or just someone else you kind of turn to when everyone else is busy or unavailable? Standing up for Jesus will cost you social status. Friends will leave you. So how did I cope when my friends didn't want to hang out with me because of my faith? Well, because I had other friends at youth. I had friends who were different. These guys were a bit quieter. They were a bit more mature than I was. I was still able to have really good friendships. And these friendships with these different guys, they've blossomed and they've developed over the past few years. I had different friends who I could rely on. And these are beautiful gospel friendships. They pointed me back to Christ. We pray for each other. We ask how each other is going. And we share things when things are really, really hard. Because that's one of the main ways that we can love and care for our friends. It's by actually knowing what is going on in their lives. It's actually talking about things that really matter. Sometimes things in life can be really tricky. There's lots of anxiety and other mental health stuff that's going on. And sometimes that can make it really hard to trust God all the time. So do you know what struggles your friends are going through? Do you know the other people in your Bible study and what's going on? A simple question to ask can be seen on the screen. It's, how is your love for Jesus going? And how can I be praying for you? And then actually being curious and actually listen. Let them speak. Let them know that you're there to listen. So do you talk? And another thing is, do you talk about Jesus outside of Bible study outside of a Sunday? Do you talk with your group outside on a Monday or a Tuesday? Do you talk about what they found is good from the talk? Maybe on Friday after the discussion group time, actually ask how they're going. So, to close, what could a wise friendship look like over the next week? Jason sends his Bible study group chat a message on Monday, sharing a reflection from the talk on Sunday. On Tuesday, Jason sees one of the guys in his Bible study at school at lunchtime. They're a bit different, and they don't normally spend heaps of time together, but Jason goes over and says hi and asks how he is going. On Thursday, Jason sends a message to a brother in Christ and asks for prayer for a few things, and then asks how he can pray. Jason and his group of friends hang out on Saturday night and get some dinner. Jason says grace to them and then asks how are they going in their faith. On Sunday, Jason sends a text message reminder to his friends who come every 3 or 4 weeks and encourages them to come along. We've looked today at the big idea that we are designed for friendships, so use them wisely. God has created us in his image and he is a relational God. So it's not wrong to want friendships. Friendships are great. The problem is that we often don't want deep friendships enough, and we settle for really shallow, surface-level friends that aren't centered on Jesus. And so we looked at the friendship between David and Jonathan to hopefully see a vision of how to have beautiful friendships and how to use them wisely. We saw that gospel friendships are built on love for each other, and that love points us back to God, because our relationship with him is the most crucial and it's the one that never ends. And finally, gospel friendships can be with people who are different from us, where we are united by Christ and not just common interests. So let's pray that Christ Church St. Ives is a place where real friendships happen.